Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Today, our church around the world celebrates the feast of the baptism of Jesus Christ. In the Gospel, we hear how John the Baptist baptizes Jesus in the Jordan River. Now, appreciate the scene for what it is. People are going out into the desert to see John and to hear him preach. What does he preach? Repentance. The people must repent and seek a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of their sins. After a while, the people go out into the Jordan River, kneel down, and they confess their sins to John. And afterwards, John baptizes them. Now, the last person you would expect to see at this event is Jesus Christ. Yet, Jesus is not only there, but he is standing in the Jordan River, shoulder to shoulder with the other sinners, awaiting his baptism. Now, picture that in your mind. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, kneeling before John the Baptist to receive a baptism of repentance. Now, this was an incredibly embarrassing event for our early church, and it was very difficult for our apostles, as well as our early church fathers, to explain why the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is kneeling before John to receive this type of baptism, one of repentance. Now, if there's anything that all four gospel writers maybe should have excluded from all the events of Jesus' life and ministry, it would be this event that they should omit. Yet we find Jesus' baptism in all four of the Gospels. It's interesting, in the Gospel of Matthew, John doesn't understand it himself. That's why he says to Jesus, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me?" Now this is very odd, because John the Baptist, his entire life was dedicated to preparing the way for Jesus Christ. Yet he himself is completely caught off guard by Jesus kneeling before him. Yet where have we seen this action before? Where have we seen Jesus kneel before people, and the people are completely astounded by it? Well, at the time of the Last Supper, Jesus gets up, takes the towel, the basin, and the pitcher of water, and kneels before his apostles and begins to wash their feet. Peter, like John the Baptist, is also dumbfounded. He's completely taken off guard and embarrassed by what he's seen. Now remember, foot washing was something that was relegated to the lowest slave in the entire household. And yet now, Jesus was performing this act. Jesus is once again on his knees in front of his apostles. Now why does Jesus subject himself to these embarrassing events? Or are they really embarrassing? As I said before, for many years, after Jesus' ascension into heaven, the apostles and the early church fathers struggled to explain his baptism. Yet after a while, through prayer, through meditation, and most importantly, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the apostles began to understand why Jesus' baptism was such a powerful event in his life and his mission, as well as in our faith life, such that there was no way no one could leave it out of the gospel. Jesus is sinless. Jesus will always be sinless. He is the Son of God. Jesus also is in no need of a baptism of repentance. Yet nonetheless, Jesus subjects himself to this humiliating act so as to identify himself with us as sinners. When Jesus kneels down, shoulder to shoulder, in the muddy waters of the Jordan River with the other sinners, Now he is in solidarity with us as sinners. Jesus is now one of us, and now he's able to embark upon his mission, which is to save us. As I reflect upon the story of Jesus' baptism, I can't help but be reminded of the story of my priest friend, who before he entered the seminary to begin studying for the priesthood, was part of an organization called the Navigators. This was an organization that went around the world to evangelize and convert people to Christianity. Well, he and three other men were sent to Tokyo, Japan, to evangelize and to convert many of the people to Christianity. Now, when the four men arrived in Tokyo, they decided that they would first try to evangelize the homeless, all the people that lived in the streets of Tokyo. Now, it was a rough going at start. The homeless didn't seem to want to have anything to do with them, and they couldn't figure this out. After all, they treated the homeless with a great deal of respect, more than most of the people of the city of Tokyo did. And despite their tireless efforts to minister to the homeless by providing them with food, clothing, and seeing to their medical needs, the homeless still did not want much to do with these four men. Now, the men didn't understand why they could not connect with the homeless. Suddenly, they realized why. They weren't part of the homeless. They weren't one of them. They could not identify themselves with the homeless. These four men stayed in an apartment, and in the morning, what they would do is they would go out into the streets and begin working with the homeless. Then towards the evening, they would pack up all their things and then go back to their apartment. They would eat and sleep there, and then the next morning, they would begin their ministry again. Yet, these men were staying in a home, whereas the homeless didn't have that. And therefore, the four men could not connect or identify with the homeless. And so, these four men decided that if they truly wanted to minister to them, they had to live in solidarity with them. And they did just that. They went out and found four large cardboard boxes, and those boxes became their homes for the next year and a half. Now the homeless, once they saw that what these men had done, they began to accept them as one of their own. And then they began to connect. They began to talk with these four men, and now the process of evangelization began. These four men now lived with the homeless on the streets of Tokyo, yet they lived in solidarity with the homeless. They were one of them. Now, the remarkable thing about it was that after the year and a half was over with, these four men were able to successfully evangelize and convert to Christianity many of the people that were homeless in the streets of Tokyo. See, that's why Jesus' baptism is so important. Jesus now is in solidarity with us as sinners. Jesus Christ submits to this baptism so to be in solidarity with us, for the express purpose of now identifying with us and being one of us in order to save us. My friends, what we have to understand is we have a God that will go to any length to save us, even to resorting to acts like being baptized or washing feet, acts that appear embarrassing, maybe in the eyes of the world, yet are instead incredible gestures of how profound God's love is for each and every one of us. Now, what's so amazing is how Jesus' baptism is so similar to our own. Jesus is baptized for the express purpose of identifying himself with us. We are baptized, and in doing so, we are incorporated now into the life of Jesus Christ. As I said last week, we are grafted onto the body of Christ. As Paul says, "It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me." The similarities continue. Water was poured over Jesus' head. The Holy Spirit descends upon him, anointing him, and we hear the divine voice of the Father identifying who Jesus truly is. At the time of our baptism, water was also poured over our heads, cleansing us of our original sin. We too were anointed, and the Holy Spirit was imparted upon us. And at the very moment of our baptism, we received a new identity. We now became the beloved, adopted sons and daughters of God the Father. That's why I always say, baptism is the second greatest event in our entire life. The first is when we come face to face with God in heaven, when we see the beatific vision. That truly will be the greatest event in our life. I'll leave you with just one last thought. After Jesus is baptized, we see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. We don't see it often in the Bible, yet in very special events and circumstances, we see all three persons of the Holy Trinity reveal themselves. All three persons are present to reveal the depth of God's love for us, but also to recognize that this baptism now marks the very beginning of Jesus' mission to save the world. How does he do it? By taking on the roles of priest, prophet, and king. At the time of our baptism, we too promised God that we would also take on these roles of priest, prophet, and king, just like Jesus Christ, in order for us to be authentic and genuine followers of Jesus. We must be a priest, which means to sanctify, to make holy. We must, each and every day of our life, try to the best of our abilities to live a good and holy life. Strive for holiness through a daily prayer life, an active sacramental life. These are all ways in which we try and live out the role of priest. King. King means that we must lead people to God. Often the best way to lead people is by example, and therefore we must practice our faith. Finally, prophet. We must be a prophet to people in this world. By word and deed, by our behavior and by our conduct, we preach the word of God. As I often give you the quote of St. Francis of Assisi, preach the word of God, always, and if necessary, use words. The best way that we can preach the word of God in this world is simply by our behavior. Since we share in the life of Christ through baptism, now we must also share in the work of Christ in this world. My friends, I strongly encourage you, please take some time out this week. Read this gospel passage from Mark, Jesus' baptism. Read it once, twice, read it five times, and then pray to God. Pray first out of a spirit of gratitude. Gratitude in the fact that we have a God that will stop at nothing to save us. And also in a spirit of gratitude for our own baptism, thanking God that now, since our baptism, we participate in the life of Jesus Christ. And in fact, through our baptism, we now identify ourselves with Jesus Christ. And may the peace and the grace of Christ rest upon you always.